Romans 12, we keep talking about spiritual gifts for a couple more weeks at least. I have a little bit more to cover on that. But Romans 12, starting in verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercies with cheerfulness. So just kind of review from the last week or so. Spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. All right, so all of us have natural talents and abilities that we are given at birth. And those are still given by God, but all mankind, all that are created in the likeness of God are given some type of a natural talent or ability. So those are not the same as spiritual gifts. The purpose of our spiritual gifts is to minister to others. And we said ministry is people. So we are ministering to people. We're serving people, helping people, and giving to them. And then we're to strive to do good to those we meet and share Christ with others. And following the example of Christ, Scripture tells us that he came to seek and to save those who were lost, but then he also went about doing good. So that's kind of our role model. If we take all that Christ did and boil it down, it'd be kind of one of those two things. And we could probably even put them together because seeking to save the lost is doing good. But apart from that, you know, he ministered to believers and encouraged them and exhorted them as well. So collectively, as the body of Christ, all right, and we said we're many members, but together, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then we utilize our gifts. And, you know, each of us have different gifts or different levels of those gifts. But we collectively use our gifts to minister to others and to share the gospel, to preach the good news. So it takes the whole body, it takes all of the body of Christ working together in order to accomplish all that God would like to have done. You know, what is it that Paul says? You know, he says, you know, one plants the seed, one waters. You know, it's a collective effort, but what? God gives the increase. You know, we go back to where we said that God is the husbandman. You know, God is the one that controls the vineyard. And then we, our goal, our responsibility is just to abide in the vine. You know, and as we abide in Christ, then it's the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit, that gives the fruit. And we are the fruit, we are the recipients of the fruit coming out, but we're not the ones that are making the fruit come out. You know, the Holy Spirit is doing that work through us and with us. So he gets the glory, God gets the glory for that. So our ministry is an expression of Christ's life in the world. It's important to God that he sent the Holy Spirit at Jesus' request, because Jesus said, you know, I'm going to send you this comforter. You know, so the comforter was sent, the Holy Spirit was sent to provide us what we need to minister. You know, it's through, you know, that's why it's so important that we rely upon the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to teach us all things. The Holy Spirit is the one that can empower us. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to give us the words to speak when we don't know what to say to someone. You know, when we're in a situation and someone's sharing with us, and you know, in the back of your mind, you're going, I don't have a clue what I'm going to say. You know, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know how I can help them. And then they stop, and then you start talking. You know, and you're praying, you know, God, can you know, you've got to do something and help me in this. Then you open your mouth and you share something, and at the end you go, wow, thank you, God, that was really good. I didn't even know I knew that, kind of thing. All right, and at that moment, you know that that was the Holy Spirit that was doing, you know, it wasn't your words. I mean, it was your words, but it was the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And so in those instances, it's just a reminder to us how good God is and what a blessing it is to be His minister and to be able to be that vessel that the Holy Spirit works through to bring about an encouragement or something that another believer in Christ needs in their lives. And so that ministry, the third point there, is to the degree that we actually allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. So we've got to be open to that. We have to be willing to allow Him to work in us and through us, and have that desire for Him to do that. You know, if you don't want that, you know, you need to kind of check your heart and figure out why, and what's preventing that. But, you know, and I get it. You know, there are days that probably all of us, you know, we don't want to be used as much as others. You know, we get a little selfish or we get a little, you know, stressed and whatever, and you just kind of don't want to be bothered with stuff. But the reminder has to be to us constantly, you know, I need to be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not about me. You know, I have conversations with people more often now than we did years ago about, you know, like, why is it, you know, why do we have to come to church 3 times a week? You know, why is it so important to be here all the time? And you know, a lot of it, it's not necessarily about you. It's not about you in that sense, but it's the sense that, you know, you need to be here to minister to someone else. It's not what you get when you're here. Now, a byproduct of being here is you should get a blessing from the teaching or the preaching and the fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters. But the goal for you to be here on campus, as opposed to go, I can just listen at home online and watch the, you know, service on the web. Sure. And you can get a blessing from the sermon that way and get the truth from it. But you're missing the blessing of being a help and ministering to someone else there. You know, I saw it on Facebook. I think it was my old youth pastor that put a little thing on Facebook the other day, and it said, said something about, you know, for those of you that think you can stay at home and watch the service and get something out of it or get fed from it, you know, try staying at home and watching our next potluck dinner and see how much you get fed from it, kind of idea. You know, and it's that same idea. You know, part of the feeding from the Word of God is actually being here so that you have a part in the family and with others. And so it's just, you know, it's the unselfish part of, you know, I want to be there. I want to be around the others so that I can be a blessing and a minister and work and help in their lives. And a byproduct of that is that you get blessed as well. You know, if you ever get discouraged, if you ever get down in the dumps, the best way to get your spirits raised, go to a nursing home and visit some elderly people that are there. You know, it's a little harder to go to the hospital. You used to be able to go to the hospital and visit people, but that's a lot harder now. But, you know, you know, most of the nursing homes are still open and you can go and visit someone there. But just, you know, you go and visit them and you realize how blessed you are. You know, when my mom was, you know, she spent about a week or 10 days at Autumn Care. And just, you know, it's just pitiful, the folks that are there. You know, and, you know, some of them, my mom was like, she goes, I don't think anybody ever came to visit, you know, this person or that person. You know, in the 10 days that she was there. And so just, you know, you going and ministering to someone like that, which is, I mean, that would lift your spirits as well as theirs. But, you know, if you're discouraged, you know, go and do minister to someone else. And that will make your appreciation for life and for all that you have so much greater. So how should our ministry and the Holy Spirit's ministry align? All right, so you all share on this one. Think about that for a minute. All right, so we said our ministry is that of, you know, people, really, all the different parts of working with people. So how does our ministry and the Holy Spirit's ministry, how does that line up?
Well, the Holy Spirit works through people.
Okay.
So we need to submit to Him and do what He says.
All right. So the Holy Spirit...
That's His ministry.
Right.
Through us.
So the Holy Spirit's ministry is through followers of Christ, believers in Christ. So as we allow Him to fill us and use us, then we then are open to ministering to others.
The ministry has to have the end state in mind. The end state is to expand or further the kingdom, to grow
okay.
the kingdom.
Good, David. The end state is furthering the kingdom of God, and if that's our mindset, that's the Holy Spirit's mindset. You know, the Holy Spirit, part of His duties is to convict the world of sin, and He can only do that as the gospel is shared, as Christ is shared. So as we share Christ with others and tell those in need about Christ, then the Holy Spirit has that opportunity to shed light into their hearts. Okay, good. Okay, so one of our purposes is to bring more into the body of Christ and to provide those living stones that Peter talks about and continue building the temple of God, which we are the temple of God, but we continue to build that. Good. Chris?
All of us have different gifts. We have different likes and dislikes and strengths and weaknesses, and we can sometimes want to do something in a ministry but don't feel qualified to do it even though it's your desire. We can always pray for the Holy Spirit to help bolster us so that we can pursue that avenue of ministry that we really want.
Okay, or that He would provide somebody else to do that as well. Who can think of an Old Testament example of that? Someone that wanted to do something very great for God, and God said, nope, you're not going to do it, but your son is. David in the temple, right? You know, David wanted to build God a temple, and God said, no. He goes, it's a great thought. I'm glad you thought of that. And I really, you know, I'm not opposed to it, but you're not the one to do it. You know, Solomon can do that. You know, so what did David do? He went out of his way to forget everything set and get all the, you know, gold and silver and trees and every, you know, all the rock, you know, have all that ready or prepared for Solomon so that he could begin and do that. You know, so within the body of Christ, you know, God might lay upon our heart to do something, but we have to partner with someone who has more of a strength or more of a gift in that area to come alongside, and then, you know, we become more of a support to them to get that accomplished.
That kind of reminds me of Moses, where even though he didn't choose that, God chose for him to be the spokesman, but yet he didn't feel fluent enough, and so God
yeah.
gave Aaron to him
right.
as a support, so they were both able to accomplish that.
Yeah, good. You know, it's interesting in that one, too. Yeah. Anybody ever, as you read through that account with Moses and Aaron, anybody finds anything interesting in what transpires as that goes forward?
No matter how much you resist God's plan, He's going to make you do it.
Okay. No matter how much you resist, God's going to make you do it. But... trying to think of a question without giving away an answer. Did Moses grow in his spokesmanship?
Yes.
Yes, to the point where do we see and where do we see from Scripture as time goes by? Moses is the one speaking, not Aaron anymore. You know, Aaron's supposed to be the spokesperson, and, you know, in the beginning, like Moses tells Aaron, yeah, say this, and then at some point. You know, it's just in Moses said. You know, so he needed the help in the beginning to kind of get him over that hump of, you know, God, I can't do it. I'm not, you know, my tongue's not great. But he got to the point where he realized, you know what, with God's help, I can do this. And, you know, I appreciate Aaron being alongside me. And Aaron was, you know, he was the right-hand man, you know, all along. But Moses got to the point where he could publicly speak to the people himself. You know, and again, that's a great goal. You know, when God calls you, if you don't feel like you can accomplish it, you know, then he might bring someone alongside. But you don't have to. You can realize, you know what, I can grow into this. You know, God can grow me into this position to where I won't, I still need help, but not like, you know, not as much kind of idea. Good. Anybody else have a thought? How our ministry aligns with the Holy Spirit's?
Everything that the Trinity does for itself is to its glory. So what we're doing should also glorify God.
Good. All right. Everything that the Trinity does is for the glory of the Trinity, the glory of God. And so all that our work, all that we do should be to the honor and glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So that should be our mindset throughout. You know, and one of the other great that you brought up, Trinity, the Trinity, you know, it's just... You know, it's amazing within the Trinity, the structure, and I know it's just one of those things that's so difficult to really grasp and comprehend. But, you know, even within the structure of the Trinity, you know, we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And of course, we know the Son's not the Father, and the Son's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not the Son, not the Father, but yet they're all God. And there is a structure there where God, you know, the Father is in some regard, even though they're all equal, but the Father is the one that wills and the Father is the one that plans kind of idea. You know, and then we, as far as salvation, you know, we say the Father planned our salvation, the Son provided it, and then the Holy Spirit performs it or perfects it. You know, he's the one that does that perfecting and performing within us. You know, Christ provided it with his death, the burial and resurrection for us. You know, but it was God's plan or the Father's plan from the beginning. But within that, you know, there's no, you know, each one is totally submitted to the other. You know, there's no, I wish I was this or I want to be bigger. They're all so settled in their position. You know, and Christ is always, you know, I'm just here to do the will of the Father. You know, everything through the Gospel of John, it's just the will of the Father, the will of the Father. I'm just here to accomplish, you know, his words are what I speak. You know, so submissive in all of that. And yet then what does the Father do? He says, you know, all that I give the Son will come to him. You know, and the Son, it will reign. I'll give him all the glory. You know, and he will, in the end, every knee will bow to him and confess to him. You know, so it's, you know, the Christ is uplifting the Father, and then the Father turns around and says, well, you know, you're going to reign and rule forever. You know, so it's just a constant submission one to the other. There's no power struggle. No jealousy. Yeah, I think that's what I was going with. You know, they're not jealous of each other. They're just like pleased with who they are, where they're at, and, you know, what their role is in that. You know, and I think our takeaway from that is that within the body of Christ, you know, and we'll see this in the next week or two, you know, all of us don't have the same gift. You know, and all of us can't be the, you know, the main teacher every Sunday. But that doesn't mean that we can't ever teach. It just means that, you know, we might not have the same teaching ability as the senior pastor, but we still can have a gift of teaching. You know, teach Sunday school, teach a small group, teach a micro group, you know, just three or four, or a smaller group with, you know, 20 or less or whatever, or Sunday school class. You know, there's just different levels of ability that God gives. And we see that from the talents, right? You know, one had 10, one had 5, one had 2, or depending which one you're looking at. the parables. And so, but God gives us the talents and the gifts, and we just need to realize, okay, you know what? I need to be happy with that. I need to be content that, you know, I'm just 5 talents. You know, I'm not the 10-talent guy. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm going to use my 5 talents. I'm going to do, you know, just as the servant did. I'm going to trade. I'm going to do everything I can so that when the master comes, I'm going to say, hey, you gave me 5. Here's 10 back. You know, and what does he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Just like the guy with 10, you know, he did his and he said, you know, you gave me 10. Here's 20. And he says, well done, good. And he got the same reward, same encouragement that the 5 guy did. And so, you know, the idea in that is we just need to use what God has given us to the best of our ability, and make the most of it. You allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, just constantly, you know, as much as possible, for that. All right, we'll pick up there next week. Father, thank you for the time we've had today. Thank you for your work and your blessings. I pray that you would help us to strive to be open to the control of the Holy Spirit, that we would daily desire for Him to truly work through us, that we would be sensitive to His guidance and His leading, that we would look for opportunities where we can have the Holy Spirit speak through us to be a blessing to others and to minister to them. And we'll thank you for it in your name. Amen.